Hello and welcome. I am John Bridges of Guild Financial Advisory, Masters of Finance. I have a special guest today for you. His name is Peter Lai. Peter is founder, chairman, and chief executive of the Majestic Corporation, a company whose shares are listed on the Aquis Exchange Growth Market. Peter, welcome. It is a joy to meet you at last. I know you may know all my colleagues. Peter, tell me, how did you come to found something like Majestic? But just before you get into that, just tell us what it does very quickly.
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you for having me here. Majestic is a urban mining company. It specializes in recovering precious metals and non-ferrous metals from your weed and electrical appliances from the community.
I saw WE written down. Does WE remind me what WE stands for?
WE is your small domestic appliances, such as your phones, computers, PC, laptops, things like that, yes.
All of which have precious metals.
And also electrical equipment also has the non-ferrous metals and everything inside it as well.
Now, that's interesting. What do you mean by non-ferrous metals and electrical equipment?
Non-ferrous metals are your coppers, aluminium, stainless steel, zinc, and all that are considered as non-ferrous metals.
Right. Thank you. I understand that. I remember from my chemistry days at school learning names like that. But I think something that slightly surprises me, and I'm sure others as well, that it's actually worth recovering things like copper and zinc. They must be present in such tiny quantities.
Yes. You're right. Nowadays, compared to 20 years ago, the gold content of your cell phone or your computer, your IT equipment, you recover much more gold, right? And nowadays, your computer, your IT equipment will recover much less, but the quantities are much more. So we used to have, 10 tons of free or IT equipment. Nowadays, the population generate more than 100 tons of IT equipment.
So there's more of it about.
Yes.
My mind is finding it difficult to grasp how, from a tiny item like the cell phone which you are carrying, whilst one can understand it is worth retrieving from it any gold content, it seems astonishing it's worth retrieving where it occurs, things like copper and zinc.
Yes.
Has the processing for finding these things and extracting them changed in recent times?
Oh, yes. Now, the investments as economic scale, example, before we used to have 1 ton of equipment can generate you, say, 10 grams of gold, while now you need to process 100 ton of equipment to generate the same amount of gold. Therefore, the equipment investment, the infrastructure investment will be much more to process the volume the community is generating at the moment. When we're talking now, we're talking into 2 mobile phones, and I'm looking into 3, 4, 5 monitors with a couple of PCs. We are sitting around with all IT equipment surrounded by IT equipment.
I would say that's partly because we happen to be sitting in a recording studio, yeah, which you would expect to have an excess of these things.
Yes.
But yes, yeah, those of us with the long memories and or have been around for a long time,
yes,
are aware of how our offices have changed over the last 20, 30 years and so on and so on. But back to the question that I asked before I took us down other highways and byways. How did you come to found this business?
I started getting into this business about 16, 18 years old, and I was working at a factory, and I started to dismantle the equipment to understand what's inside the equipment. Then one holiday when I was working was dismantled some material that I saw is from Australia, which I'm from. And thereafter, when I got back and I started to explore the opportunities, try to contact them, try to find my way. And after months and months of searching, I was able to find the source and able to buy from the source. And then eventually, a few months later, I've been shipping close to 300 to 500 containers a month out of Australia. I was probably at that time the biggest or the first or yeah first or second exporter of this type of metal from Australia at that time.
What exactly were you buying?
I was buying a lot of telecom equipment. Basically, those days to carry one line would probably or 100 lines will carry one floor of equipment. Not like nowadays, 100 lines probably like the size of a PC. So those days when we were able to buy the, what they call switch gear, I was able to buy buildings worth. At that time, the telecom company asked me to do a clean out, and it will be a complete building clean out from cable, your copper cables, to your copper bus bars, to your precious metals, to your electronics, electronic components in telephone exchange.
Right. But we don't have that quantity of stuff nowadays.
No, nowadays, no. Now one room this size can carry the same what they used to do in five or six floors of...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were buying this equipment in its raw state.
Yes.
In quantities from property developers and or owners or something like that.
Yeah.
What did you do with it, having bought it?
I was able to buy it for somebody. At that time, I didn't have enough money. I just started this business, and I was able to buy it and then deliver it to his yard and in China. And then I was working in his yard, dismantling it, taking things apart, and then understanding what's inside it and getting to know the industry a bit more and getting to know what the materials are, getting to know how to process the material in a more efficient way, and then to upgrade the material.
So you were learning on the job from the bottom end?
Yes, yes, yes. This is how you have to learn. You have to get your hands dirty. It's the way we talk in this business.
I don't think that expression is only appropriate to your business. I think most businesses,
yeah,
if truth be told,
yeah,
are a case of the best ones, and the ones that grow quickest are the ones, yeah, where the founder or founders have got their hands dirty.
That's right.
You've proved the point. You have an infrastructure. You have depots, if that's the right word, in a number of significant places. You should be ready to spring forward from here. Are
yes.
you, or is there more to be done?
Yes, we've grown organically for the past years, and we have many now locations and partnership agreements with suppliers in UK, US, Malaysia, Italy, and Australia. And we listed on the ACOS exchange just under a year ago now.
Yep.
And we have plans to expand across Europe, US, and we are starting from UK first.
Can you tell me, for my listeners, what it is you've got in the UK at the moment?
At the moment, we have tipped our toes in opening a facility in UK up in Deeside, and just a small warehouse, just to understand what the local council, municipality, how they treat, how are they labouring, and how they receive recycling companies like ours before we take the next step. And there'll probably be a pilot plant for training and to understand what the local labour market is and understand the permitting issues, and before we take the next step to grow that site to become a more investment into that site, I guess. Yeah.
Why did you choose Deeside?
Oh, Deeside, location is the key and population is the key. Nowadays, with energy costs and diesel costs, transporting from one side of the country to the other side of the country is very costly and also not very good for the environment, I guess. And where Deeside is 45 minutes away from the port, and it's near the population, where you have the Manchester, Liverpool, Leeds. That area is a very high population, and we are closer to the material, and we are closer to municipalities where we can collect the equipment to process without incurring a lot of transportation cost.
Right. And the equipment is, in this case, will be computer equipment.
IT equipment.
Telephones.
Electrical equipment, yeah.
The regular stuff.
Yes.
Of which there is a lot around.
That's right.
Let's talk about, if we may, another sector of your business. And that is exhaust systems for motor cars. There's a correct name for them, isn't it?
No, catalytic converters.
Catalytic converters.
Yes. We also process catalytic converters.
Yeah.
Yes. We are processors of catalytic converters, and we processing this in Deeside as well, processing it and upgrading the material, and then delivering it to refineries across the world.
How do you feel about sort of a economy of the world in terms of the industry that you're in? We've got all sorts of you know, considerations we haven't had for a long time, like inflation and higher interest rates. Where does that impact with you?
During COVID, the government had artificially inflated the markets by pumping too much money into the system.
Yep, I think we all discovered that.
Yeah, and it caused the metal market to raise to probably some 100%, some 200 or 300%. And example, rhodium, it was from 8,000 to 32,000. So it became extremely expensive. But since 2022, the government have increased interest rate, tried to deflate the market, and causing the metal prices to drop another 30 to 60%. So this also gives opportunity for Majestic to come in and to take advantage of the volatile market. But the market at the moment is still finding its equilibrium, I guess, and finding the exact supply and demand, because with government intervention, the market's not confident into expanding, and companies will not expand, do not see a 3 to 5 year growth for their expansion.
Some of your growth, which has been pretty spectacular, can be put down to your ability to be nimble and fast moving, and so on and so on. Who are the big players in this metal recovery business?
There are a handful. I don't want to mention names, but there are a handful of players who has signed contracts with multinational companies across the world, and these dominant players have big warehouses ranging from 300 to 500,000 square feet with huge machinery, huge certification, and 90% of them actually get the material for free, and even charge the supplier a fee to process to process the material. But this is the only way they can really sustain their 300,000, 500,000 square feet infrastructure with machinery and with huge labor cost. Whereby now, I think with big infrastructure in one location means that they will need to bring in logistics and all over the country, all over the world to sustain that size infrastructure, to fulfill that, to make that infrastructure work. And in order to, and also bringing all the trucks to each location will also incur a lot of the environmental, causing a lot of carbon footprint by them doing that is not very sustainable. Whereby Majestic's aim is to build smaller facilities and then less transportation, and upgrade the material to a stage where the refineries like to process the material to its raw state.
Can we talk about gold for a minute? How much of your business is recovery of gold and precious metals?
Yeah.
But gold in particular, I'm interested in.
Gold and silver is very important in my business. It's the main precious metal that we recover from what we do. And during the COVID times, when they pumped so much money out, with all the money didn't actually go to hard commodities. Precious metals commodities. Actually, a lot of metals went to crypto, bitcoins, etc.
Indeed.
And recently, because of what's happening in the crypto industry, a lot of people realize that they want to go back to hard commodities such as gold and silver.
Yes.
Right. This is why you see now. Probably, I think, I don't know if you noticed this, when 1st of January or 2nd of January, when the new year came, gold went from 1780 now to 1930, and it's finding support now in 1930, right?
So, well, I did notice it, but largely because I happened to be talking to somebody in the business, but the press didn't make much out of it, did they? There's not been a lot in the press about that increase in the price of gold.
Yes, that's why, because by the time you hear about it from the news, it's already gone up. Yeah. So we took advantage of that. We took very advantage of that situation. Our company actually did not do much selling during the fourth quarter of 2022, hoping to we'll take advantage of the second quarter of 2023. But what actually sparked the increase was China. China actually became the net importer of gold in at the towards the fourth quarter and the first quarter first month of 2023, and then also with the news that China is reopening, a lot of factories are restocking, meaning that a lot of not just precious metals now, a lot of base metals such as your copper, aluminium, nickel, stainless steel, all that is also going up with it as well, riding on the news.
Yeah.
So we have to really see what the market is doing. Because that's the difference with the index, we publish market rate, gold going up 19, but the physical market is actually different. So we have to understand when China actually opens up, we will actually see what the physical demand is like. But at the end, I think sector driven, like the EV sector, I said before, is you will see copper going up because to build a grid, they want, example, London wants to be fully electric by 2030. To build up the grid for London alone will probably take up a third of the world's copper.
Right.
And if California wants to do it, and if US wants to do it, everybody follows, or there ain't enough copper around. And I read a recent article from one of the big banks. They foresee copper going up to, say, 30,000. So many things. So don't be shocked that metal prices will shoot up.
Peter, this has been a real, real personal privilege to have you along here today to have a chat about you and your company. I found it fascinating. I have learnt a great deal. You reminded me of one or two aspects of my past when back in the 70s I was briefly in the commodities and metals business. Peter, you're a good man. Thanks for coming.
No, thank you.
I look forward to bringing you back to this table.
Definitely.
In a few months' time with an update on progress being made.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on your favourite podcast app. This content is issued by Guild Financial Advisory Limited, which is authorised and regulated in the United Kingdom by the Financial Conduct Authority for designated investment business and is a member of the Aquis Stock Exchange. Nothing in this podcast should be viewed as investment advice. Listeners should consult an investment professional before making any decision regarding topics mentioned in this podcast. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the participants and not of Guild Financial Advisory. Please note that participants within this podcast may have financial interests in the matters discussed.